Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced Wealth Podcast. My name is Jarrett Topel. I'd say that one of the best parts of being a financial planner is that no day at the office is quite the same. You never know what questions you'll be asked or what analysis will need to be done. And this variety and unpredictability is what makes it fun and rewarding to be a financial planner, as you really get to use both sides of your brain. You get to be a part-time mathematician and statistician and a part-time therapist and behavioral coach all at the same time. However, that being said, there are a few questions that I seem to get on a regular basis, and I thought it might be helpful for many if I were to address those questions here. So, here, in no particular order, are my answers to five of the questions I get asked most often as a financial planner. Number one on the list is, how much cash should we have set aside as our cash reserves? This is a great question, as cash reserves are probably the most important part of any financial plan or long-term investment strategy. It doesn't matter if you're an individual, a family, a business, you name it, those with adequate cash reserves are often successful, while those without often fail. It's all about being prepared for the unknowable future and being able to ride out the tough times whenever they happen to come. In general, we recommend that individuals and families have at least 6 months' worth of spending set aside of cash reserves, net of taxes and savings. In other words, if you spend $10,000 a month, not including taxes and savings, you should have at least $60,000 sitting in the bank or short-term CDs. And if you're employed in a volatile business or industry, such as a startup tech company, or planning to leave your current job soon without already having secured a new job, having closer to 12 to 18 months' worth of cash reserves makes even more sense. And in addition to the basic 6 month cash reserve position, we also recommend you have cash set aside for any large planned expenditures coming up in the next year or two. So if you're planning to buy a new car, or put down a down payment on a home, or take the trip of a lifetime in the next couple of years, these dollars should be set aside in cash as well. All right, next up on my list of most common questions is, do I need a will? And for once, I have a straightforward, no caveat answer for you. Yes, you absolutely need a will, and likely other estate planning documents as well. A will, in conjunction with other estate planning documents, allows you to direct how your affairs will be settled and how your assets will be distributed when you're gone. And even if you don't have much in the way of assets, you should still have well thought out, written, and legally executed estate planning documents to ensure that all of your affairs are handled as you desire. This includes who can make healthcare decisions for you if you're unable to do so for yourself, who you want named as custodians to care for your minor children, and much more. Many people don't realize that if they die without a will, in essence, the state provides one for you. Dying without a written will is called dying intestate, and when you die intestate, the state has a preordained system and structure in place to distribute your assets and take care of your affairs in a way that has been predetermined by the state. For those of you who have not proactively written out your own will, you've basically signed up for the state's will. So if your estranged sister or your no-count, deadbeat brother ends up with all of your assets or becomes custodian for your child, you really have no one to blame but yourself. Okay, third up in my list of common questions is, should we pay off our debt or invest these dollars? I often have clients tell me they have excess cash in the bank and they're wondering, is it better to pay down their debt or invest these dollars? And on a purely statistical level, the answer is pretty straightforward. If you have debt, such as credit cards or student loans, mortgages, etc., that's costing you more than you're likely to earn on your cash or investments, then you should pay off your debt as quickly as possible. If, on the other hand, your debt is costing you less than you're likely to earn, then you should stay in debt and invest your excess cash in the investment opportunities with higher potential returns. Here's an example to help illustrate the point. Let's say you have a mortgage that's costing you 3%, and you have an investment portfolio that's structured to provide you with a 7% rate of return over the long run. The statistics say in this scenario, you should pay down your debt as slowly as possible, invest the savings, and earn the 7%. Why pay down debt that's costing you 3% with money that's earning you 7%? Or, on the other hand, if you have cash in the bank earning you 1%, and you either don't want to or don't need to invest to reach your goals, so the money is likely to stay in the bank at 1%, then it does make sense to pay down your 3% mortgage. After all, why earn a guaranteed 1% keeping your money in the bank when you could earn a guaranteed 3% by paying down your mortgage? Moving right along, the number 4 question on my list, which is definitely the one I get the most pushback on, is renting a waste of money? At least once a month, I hear from someone who feels they're throwing away money as a renter. However, I'm one of the few advisors I know that believes renting, when done correctly, is not at all a waste of money. That being said, many renters do end up wasting their money and the financial opportunities that come with renting. It really depends on what type of person you are. If you're a dedicated saver and a long-term investor who won't be swayed by short-term market turbulence, renting can be as good or even better financially than owning a home. A typical example goes something like this. Let's say you're a renter and you're paying $4,000 a month in rent. You're looking for a home to buy and have figured out that to own a house between your mortgage, property taxes, insurance, maintenance, and the other costs of home ownership, it'll cost you around $7,000 a month to own. If you are a dedicated long-term saver and investor who systematically and methodically invests the $3,000 a month in savings that comes with renting in this scenario, you may very well be in as good or even a better place financially as a renter than you are as a homeowner. And this doesn't even count any of the other advantages of renting, such as calling the landlord when something breaks, being able to move anytime you want, not having to hold large cash reserves for the inevitable large costs that pop up from homeowners, and on and on and on. Now, that being said, the good part of home ownership, in addition to appreciation and fixed mortgage payments, is that it is a forced savings vehicle. Homeowners who owe $7,000 a month usually pay that amount. However, renters who pay $4,000 a month very rarely, if ever, invest the savings available to them as renters. So, even though statistically it may not always make sense to own a home, behaviorally it often turns out best for people who do, because it forces them to save money they would have likely otherwise spent on non-productive uses. And finally, we come to number 5 on my list, which is, when can I retire? Unfortunately, there are no easy answers or simple rules of thumb here. People often want a quick analysis and a simple yes or no to this question, but that's just not how it works. In order to get a quality answer to the question, when can I retire, you must be ready, willing, and able to do some serious and ongoing financial planning work. You need to gather accurate information on your assets, liabilities, income, and most importantly, expenses, both now and as anticipated in the future. Everyone has a different financial situation, and everyone has different goals, so everyone should have their own personalized financial plan when it comes to making retirement decisions. And if you do find someone or some website or app willing to give you a yes-no answer after just a brief conversation or a quick and simple analysis, please be aware. Garbage in is garbage out, and you really don't want to plan your 30-plus year retirement based on any type of garbage. Deciding when and how to retire is likely the biggest financial decision you will ever make. So please take your time and give the topic the time, effort, and attention it deserves.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. This program should not be construed as financial, legal, or estate planning advice. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital, and seek advice from a licensed professional. Topel & Destacy Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Topel & Destacy Wealth Management, LLC and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Topel & Destacy Wealth Management, LLC unless a client service agreement is in place.